If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus emphasized the fact that kingdom religion is a religion of the heart. Jesus knew that the externals can look perfect, but if the heart is not right, then that religion is worthless. And Jesus began his sermon with the Beatitudes, you'll remember. And those Beatitudes are really Kingdom of God prerequisites. Blessed are the pure in heart, he said, for they will see God. And Jesus would explain in that Sermon on the Mount that murder is more than just what you see on the outside, just the external. It's more than just the external taking of another life. It stems from an impure heart. And you can murder someone by your attitude of hatred. And he said, adultery is more than just the external unfaithfulness that is committed with someone not your own spouse. It comes out of a heart that is filled with lust, and adultery can be a reality even when it's not seen. And cursing and swearing are more than just bad habits. They are reflections of a soiled heart. Now, the kingdom that Jesus ushered in, it's a heart religion. And it goes to the heart of every individual. If the heart is not right, if the heart is not pure, then all the things we do externally, seen by others, are worthless. Jesus would say later on in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 15, verse 18, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. All these things are harbored in the heart of an individual. Well, how do you get a pure heart? Because that is what God longs for. That's what pleases Him. That's what honors Him. That's what Jesus taught as He began all those kingdom parables. He wanted us to have pure hearts. How do you get a heart like that? Well, we're going to go back to this 119th Psalm. It was a favorite of Jesus. He quotes from it numerous times in the New Testament. And here in the 119th Psalm, look down in verse 9. The psalmist asked this question. This is the question we want to find an answer for tonight. Before we go home tonight, we want to have the answer to this question. How can a young man keep his way pure? Did you know that a young man can keep his way pure? Old men can keep their way pure. Young women and old women can keep their way pure. And you don't have to work at it. It's not something that I'm going to tell you tonight. Well, if you'll read your Bible and pray and study and work, in 5 years you'll have a pure heart. No, that's not how it happens. You can have a clean heart before you leave the church building tonight. And we're going to see how. Look in verses 9 and 10 of the 119th Psalm. He asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? And then he answers that very question. This is how you do it. By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. It begins by living according to God's Word and seeking Him with all our heart and not straying from His commands. You know, the very first step is to get honest with God and His Word. A lot of people make excuses for bad behavior. A lot of people, when they're caught up in a sin, they have reasons that they'll give, or supposed reasons for why they did those things that they've done. And let me tell you, as long as we're making excuses, God can do nothing for us. We've got to be absolutely honest before God. God cannot cleanse an excuse. Now, God can cleanse every sin, but we've got to fess up. We've got to be honest. We've got to acknowledge where we have deviated from the commands of God. We've got to admit our problem. And most of us already know what our problem is, don't we? I know what my struggles are. What's your heart problem? I've got some heart problems that I've struggled with through life. I don't know what yours is. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe there's somebody that you have never been able to forgive. You just have a bad attitude towards that person. Maybe it's materialism. You joke about it, but deep in your heart, you trust in money way more than you should. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's sexual immorality. Maybe it's a sense of pride that makes you think you're better than everybody else. You know, the initial cleansing that everyone who's here tonight who's a Christian, and I'm speaking right now to all of you who are Christians, that initial cleansing came at your baptism. All your sins were washed away. You received the promise that was spoken first by Peter, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness, for the remission of your sins. And those sins were wiped out. And you were given a pure heart, a clean heart, by the blood of Jesus, cleansing you from those sins. And then, as a Christian, you began your walk, and having received that initial cleansing, you are now able to receive continual cleansing by the same blood that washed you the first time. In 1 John 1:9, John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The initial cleansing came when I first was obedient to Jesus. The continual cleansing comes every time I say to God, God, I messed up again. Here I am again. I've sinned today. I need your forgiveness. This is what I did. You saw me do it. Please forgive me. Help me to do better. And that blood, again, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But you've got to be serious. You have got to be serious about your walk with Him. And you've got to get clean. If you don't get clean, either initially by coming to Him and responding in faith as you're baptized, and if you're not serious about living a life that honors Him, where you pray, I appreciate Robert in our Wednesday night class. He said, I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, forgive me and Lord, help me. And boy, that ought to be the prayer of every Christian. Every day, forgive me and help me. And say that seriously to God. You know, if you're not clean, have you ever gone through a period of time when you have done something that you knew that disappointed God and you didn't even feel like praying? Maybe you didn't even feel like coming to church. You didn't want to be around Christians because you were ashamed of your behavior. But you know what happens when you stay dirty for a period of time? The longer you stay dirty, the more likely you are to get even dirtier. Now, I've got a garage that is nothing that I want most of you to see. It's reasonably clean, but it gets piled up with junk, and I let it go far too long. I decided about 2 years ago that I was going to completely reorganize that, and I put shelves in, and I painted it all, and it has a really nice matching trim on it. And I got that garage all fixed up. Jim Haven even gave me one of those old-fashioned paper towel hangers that you used to see in bathrooms. And I put that out there on the wall of my garage, and it was all fine. You know, when that garage was all clean, I didn't want to make a mess in that garage. And because it was clean, I kept it clean. for the life of a Christian, I mean, if you have on a clean shirt, you're careful, aren't you, not to get food on it. But if you have an old dirty shirt, I mean, what does it matter if I drip mustard on it? What does it matter if I throw more junk in my garage? So it's critically important that every day we accept the cleansing that God offers so that we know we're clean before Him. Otherwise, we'll just let all kinds of dirt attract to our lives. If you're not a Christian, and there may be those here tonight that are not Christians, then you need to experience that initial cleansing through the blood of the Lamb. If you are a Christian, you simply need to confess your sins and allow Him to again cleanse you with His blood. And when He does that, you need to know you are clean. You've got a clean heart. That's why I said it's not going to take you years and years to finally achieve some status. You can leave here tonight knowing that you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the one who does the cleaning. And He scrubs every stain when we come to Him with an open heart. He dusts off every shelf in our life. And He freshens and He purifies everything He touches in our lives. You know, it's a wonderful feeling, isn't it, to be clean from the inside out, to have a pure heart, not because I've achieved it, but because Jesus has cleansed me of these things. Now, there's nothing more wonderful than being made clean by Jesus. When that cleansing tide of His blood washes us anew, and it washes through every nick and cranny of our heart, and when the fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit renews our thought processes and our minds so that every crevice in our mind has been sanitized by the Word of God. You know, when we accept His forgiveness and when we are serious about living for Him, it's wonderful to step out into the world as His son or as His daughter. It's the same feeling in our hearts that we feel when we've just come out of the dentist's office and He's cleaned our teeth, and boy, our teeth are just so nice and clean and fresh, and I've again flossed my teeth, and that's just a great feeling, and you almost don't want to eat a meal because you don't want to mess up what the dentist has done. But it has to be with all our hearts. There's nothing any more tragic than a half-hearted Christian. Those who just say they're going to do it but never really follow through. Now, we've got to absolutely make up our minds that we desire pure, clean hearts before God. We have to make up our minds like Daniel made up his mind. In Daniel 1:8, it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the king's foods. We've got to make up our minds like Job made up his mind. In Job 31:1, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully upon any woman. There's a little animal called an ermine. And some of you know what an ermine is. And they're beautiful because of their fur. And they're a long little animal, sort of like an otter, but they have pure white coats. And they're noted for their cleanliness. They're like cats. They're always cleaning and preening themselves. And they keep their fur absolutely in pristine condition. And when people hunt for ermine, one of the techniques that hunters use, they'll find a lair where an ermine has burrowed back. And they'll go and they'll find the nastiest, stinkiest stuff they can find. And they'll get pig slop or something that smells even worse than that. And they'll carry it and they'll just pour it on the ground all the way around the opening of the ermine's lair. And then they'll have their dogs. And if they can catch him out in the open, he'll make a beeline back for that lair. But when he gets close to the opening and sees all that filth around the opening of the lair, he will not go across that filth. He will not contaminate himself. He would rather face the dogs than soil that pristine coat. Now, we've been talking about how to initially get a clean heart. You got it the day you were baptized. You get it every time you confess your sins wholeheartedly before God and ask Him to cleanse your heart by the blood of the Lamb. He gives it to you instantaneously. How do you stay clean? That's the harder part, isn't it? How do you stay clean? Well, look what the psalmist goes on to say down here in verse 11. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. You know how to stay clean? It's not complicated. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Now, I'll tell you, Satan does more to tempt me as a preacher. He does more to tempt me to neglect time in the Word. And I have to battle him all the time in that area. If there's one thing that I could easily let slip, and sometimes do let slip, it's time spent in the Word. Satan knows if he can just get us away from that, then the battle's already won. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart. That's another word for memorization. Jesus was able to stand up against the strongest attacks of Satan because he had learned somewhere back there, maybe it was Mary and Joseph, that it helped him commit these verses to memory, because when Satan came along, he was able to just quote it like that. It is written. And he stood up against Satan every time by quoting Scripture. And I am so proud of what we witnessed this morning when we saw Hadley and Audrey stand here before this congregation and be added to that growing group of young people, who already can rattle off the books of the Bible. And they do memory verses. We've seen before what they have been able to learn and the verses they've committed to memory in our Sunday school programs. You know, the things you commit to memory at that age, you rarely ever forget. God has designed the human mind so that you can't think two thoughts at the same time. Have you realized that? That's the way the mind works. You can't think two thoughts at the same time. If you will fill your mind regularly, consistently, daily with good thoughts, you're going to crowd out all of the negative thoughts in your mind. In our Wednesday night class, we emphasize this every week now in that Mousetrap series, both the men's and the women's class. Dwight quoted it this morning, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. You know, there's a lot in our world that absolutely is not true. But there's one source for everything that is true. Whatever's true, whatever is noble. You want to read some noble thoughts that will ennoble your life and lift your spirit? Whatever is right. There's so much wrong. But I know where the right is. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is admirable. If there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, Paul says, think about such things. I don't know where you're going to find as much concentrated good as the Word of God. In verse 15 here of the 119th Psalm, the psalmist says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. You know what the difference is between just reading your Bible? And you know what? I think that's a wonderful thing, and many of you started again this year, and we encourage it every year. Read through your Bible in this year, 2016. But I know what it's like when you get a day or two behind and you just speed read through there, especially when you get to all that boring stuff in Deuteronomy, and you just zip through that, and you zip through the genealogies, and you end up zipping through some wonderful material. And you've got your reading done, but that's not meditation. You know, we need to read the Bible like a cow eats grass. He takes it in initially, but then in the afternoon he goes and finds himself a shade tree and he sits down and he brings it up again. And he chews the cud and he ruminates and he recontemplates the things that he feasted on early that morning. And it's so important at times for us to just do devotional reading and just read a small portion and then decide all day long, I want to reflect on that verse. And it's absolutely amazing the insights that you can gain from just a very short section of Scripture upon which you will spend a day in meditation. When you go to bed that night, think back through those verses again and draw from them and the riches of God's Word. Begin your day in the Word and then think on it throughout the day. You know, it's hard to do that at first, and it's a matter of disciplining our mind and training our mind because we become easily distracted and we forget what we've read. But if we stay with that and begin the discipline of meditation on the Word of God, it starts off like driving with a stick shift. You know, that today that's been described as the best anti-theft device you can have on a car. So few people know how to drive with a stick shift. But at first it's terrible, and you're jerking and you're jumping and you're hopping in the car. But then it just becomes second nature, and you never even think about it. And you just push that clutch in and you shift those gears and you just glide through the day of driving so easily. And so it is with concentrating and meditating on the Word of God. Soon, the Word of God will be like some tune that you just can't get out of your head. You know, you hear those songs and the Word of God becomes that way. And you just can't quit thinking about that verse that you have meditated on. And it will be the music of your soul that you can't get out of your heart. Now, if you're really serious, I want to close tonight with just one verse, one suggested verse. I like verses that help me feel a little bit better as I struggle at times through life. And there's no psalm that does that any more than the 51st psalm, because that's the psalm, if you'll remember, that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. He had committed adultery. He had lied. He had murdered her. I mean, he broke half of the Ten Commandments. And then he writes the 51st psalm, and he talks about his brokenness, and then he includes a prayer to God. And it's a very short verse. It's Psalm 51:10. I've suggested this verse in the past. It's a great verse. If you want to begin your morning prayer to God, quote Psalm 51:10. This is what it says. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Well, that's the prayer of a serious saint. Make that your morning prayer, and if you really mean it, God will give you a clean heart every day of your life. Tonight we're going to close by singing a song of invitation. And if there's anybody here tonight who has never experienced that initial cleansing, Jesus has made a promise to us that if we will turn from sin and confess Him and put our sins behind us and go through those waters of baptism, that He will cleanse us completely. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You want to be condemnation free? clean and pure as the driven snow. Jesus has the capability of doing that, no matter what you've done or where you've been. And if you need to take that first step, I hope you'll do that tonight. For the rest of you who've done that, get serious about maintaining a clean heart, a pure heart this year. If you need to come, we invite you to do that while we stand and while we